Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. We are on lesson 19, which is chapter 19 in your book, and we're going to be dealing with studying Bible poetry. The objectives of this lesson is you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You'll be able to identify various forms of Bible poetry. You'll be able to identify various types of Bible poetry, and you're going to be able to study Bible poetry. Our key verse is found in Psalms 119, 164, which is, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." Now, the Bible is a collection of 66 individual books containing history, drama, romance, adventure, and poetry. The Bible is much more than great literature, but it is great literature both in content and form. And when you study the content of a book, you study the message of the book, and you learn the spiritual truths that it reveals. Now, when you study the form of a book, you examine the way a book is organized to present the content, and most of the Bible is a narrative form which presents God's truths in stories, which are easy to understand. But five books of the Bible, which would be Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon, are organized in poetic form. There are individual sections of poetry in other parts of the Bible, even though the books are not part of the poetry division. For example, poetry is also found in the books of the law and prophecy. The poetic form of presenting God's truth is quite different from the narrative story form, which is used in most of the Bible. Bible poetry is also different from the most forms of poetry which you may be acquainted with. For these reasons, special guidelines are necessary to help you study these books. And this chapter and this lesson explains the forms and types of Bible poetry, and this knowledge will help you understand and apply the great spiritual truths found in the poetic books of the Bible. Now, the poetry of the Bible probably would not be like any other poetry of which you are familiar. The poetry of the Bible is written in the form of Hebrew poetry, since most of the Old Testament was written in this language. The basic principle of Bible poetry is that it contains parallelism in thought. The word parallelism is from the word parallel, which means beside one another or like each other. For example, these two lines are parallel, as you can see here in your book. You see the two parallel lines. When things are parallel to each other, just like these two lines in your book, they're just alike. Hebrew poetry is parallel in thought, just as these two lines are parallel in appearance. And each line of the poem agrees with the other lines of the poem. So there are four common parallel forms used in Hebrew poetry. The first one is synonymous parallelism. The word synonymous means the same. In synonymous parallel poems, the second line of the poem repeats the thought of the first line. For example, we find in Psalms 3:1, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me." And then he says, "He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord will have them in derision." So in both of these examples, the second line rewords the same thoughts as the first line. The thought or expression of the second line is synonymous or exactly alike, which is expressed in the first line. The next we have is antithetic parallelism. Antithetic means the opposite. In antithetic parallel poems, the second line is an opposite thought to the first one, but it's still parallel, or it's like the first line because it is stating a similar truth, but it uses an opposite to state a similar truth. That's why it's called antithetic. For example, and we find in Psalms 1:6, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of ungodly shall perish." For example, the second line is antithetic or opposite of the first line. The first line speaks of the way of the righteous. The second line is the way of unrighteous. But the second line is still parallel to the first line because it agrees with what the first line is presenting and is an opposite truth. Then we have synthetic parallelism. The type of parallelism is like a building with blocks. The second line of the poem and all the following lines add up to develop the thought of the first line. Study the example below in your book. The second and the following lines build on one another to the first line of the poem. So it starts with, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Then it goes on, "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So in verse 1, the first line states that a man is blessed if he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The following lines build on this truth, stating he also should not stand or sit in their way. In verse 2, the first line tells us the man delights in the law of the Lord, and the second line adds to this thought that he meditates in the law constantly. Then we have emblematic parallelism. An emblem is something which stands or illustrates something else. For example, the stars of a flag of the United States of America are emblems. They stand for the 50 states which are members of the Union. An emblematic parallelism in the second and following lines of a poem are an emblem or illustration of the first line. For example, in Psalms 42:1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And that's Psalms 42:1. The second line of the verse illustrates the first. David pictures his soul desiring God just like a hart, an animal which is similar to a deer, and it pants for water when it's thirsty. The illustration of a thirsty deer is an emblem expressing David's spiritual thirst. Although there are several types of parallel from Hebrew poetry, they're not very common in the Bible, so it is necessary to include them in your study. Next, I want to talk about using form to understand content. So recognizing these basic poetic forms which we've described will help you to study Bible poetry, and you'll be able to understand the content as it expressed in the verse. So, number one, identical restatements of truth or synonymous parallelism. This will help you to understand the same truth expressed in similar ways, such as repetition will fix the truth expressed firmly in your mind and heart. It's an important way of meditating on the Word of God. So if for some reason you do not understand a certain truth in the way it's presented in the first line of the poem, the following lines which present the same truth may help you to understand. Secondly, we have opposite statements of the same truth, which is antithetic parallelism. So you will learn not only great truths, but the opposite parallels of these truths. In the example of Psalm 1:6, you not only learn something about the way of the righteous, but you also learn an opposite truth about the way of the ungodly. And as you learn to recognize the antithetic parallel form, you will not only be able to apply positive truths in your life, but you're also going to be warned of dangers of the opposite. In the example we used, you learned that God knows your way. If you're righteous, which is a positive truth, you also learn that if you're unrighteous, you'll perish. The opposite thought provides an important warning. Then we have building blocks of truth, which is synthetic parallelism. As each line of the poem builds or adds to what is presented in the first line, the truth will be fully developed in your mind. Number four, emblems which illustrate God's truth are emblematic parallelism. So such illustrations create a visual picture of God's truth in your mind. So with all these different types of poetry, there are three basic types of poetry. The division of poetry into types is made on the basis of content and manner of presentation of the poem. If you learn to recognize the different types of Bible poetry, it will help you understand what you're reading. The three types, main types of Bible poetry are as follows. Epic poetry. This is a narrative poetry and tells a story of a heroic action. There's quite a bit of narrative poetry scattered throughout the books of history. You can find those in like Numbers 22 through 24, which tells the story of Balaam. It contains examples of epic poetry. Then we have dramatic poetry. Dramatic poetry is acted poetry. The book of Job is the best example of acted poetry. In the opening, we're allowed to see behind the scenes and discover the causes of Job's problems, which are satanic. And next, we find messengers informing Job of the disaster of the loss of his children or possessions. When Job is sitting by a lonely ash heap in the following scenes, his friends offer a variety of suggestions as to the reasons why he's suffering. And there's a great climax as Job hears from God at the end and is restored with earthly blessings. So the book of Job is a drama presented in poetic form. Then we have lyric poetry. Lyric poetry is sung poetry. So we have two excellent examples found in Deborah's song of Judges 5 and Miriam's song of Exodus 15. There are also sections of lyric poetry which were used in mourning or expressing sorrow. Example, these are found in Psalms 137, 74, 80, and 2 Samuel 119 and 27. The Book of Lamentations is also an example of this type of lyric poetry or mournful singing. This book is written in poetic form, but it is classified with the historic books because the poetry relates to a tragic event in the history of God's people. So the books of poetry are a progression. The five books of poetry show a progression of spiritual life. The Book of Job describes the death of the old life of self. Psalm shows the new life in God, expressing itself in praise, prayer, adoration, supplication, confession, and intercession. And in Proverbs, we are in God's school, learning heavenly yet practical wisdom for life on earth. And Ecclesiastes speaks of the vanity of pursuing life under the sun apart from God. And the Song of Solomon speaks of the pursuit of life and with meaning through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's it for this lesson. And go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.